This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky.
Godless infidels and hellbound atheists and indifferent agnostics. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio.
And hello, all you heretical hominids and pagan primates. I am Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist, and this is the weekend of September 26 and 27, 2009. And this show, Free Thought Radio, is produced by the National Freedom From Religion Foundation. We are the country's largest group of free thinkers, and that's a nice umbrella term that includes atheists and agnostics and other types of non-believers, none of the above. We have two purposes. We work to keep state and church separate because we think the best hope for the world is a secular government, and we also work to educate the public about the views of non-theists, those of us who call ourselves, you could call us the nuns in this country.
And not spelled like N-U-N.
No, spelled
N-O-N-E-S.
N-O-N-E-S, the nuns. But this week's been really busy for us at the Freedom From Religion Foundation. A lot of activity, a lot of staff members and workers hopping around doing a lot of things. And what's new this week, Annie Laurie?
We have 7 new billboards up in the Detroit area. It's kind of a mini blitz of free thought. We have 2 14 by 48 foot billboards up, and one celebrates Charles Darwin. It's the billboard that we launched in February to celebrate the bicentennial of his birth. It says, "Praise Darwin, evolve beyond belief." And of course, we have the sesquicentennial, the 150th anniversary of the publication of his book on the origin of species, coming out in November. So we wanted to kind of keep that billboard out there.
And what's the other one say?
It says, "Imagine no religion," which is kind of the foundation's signature message. And we have also 5 poster-sized billboards. These are still enormous, 12 by 24 footers, that have that John Lennon-esque message, "Imagine no religion."
And do you know where they are? Can you tell our listeners where they are?
Well, there's so many places that they're scattered all over Detroit, and there's one off the highway, and they're in the city and all around. So if you're interested, if you're in that area and you want to find out more, you can go to our website, ffrf.org, look under news releases, and look for that news release that went up this week. And there is a segment from Fox TV in Detroit. We weren't able to grab that clip for this week, but maybe next week.
So besides educating the public about the views of us non-theists, we also are working for state church separation. And don't we have a lot of news on that front this week?
We have a lot of activity, as always. We're kind of swimming in this kind of work. On Tuesday, the City Council of Turlock, California, more or less thumbed its nose at the foundation's complaint about illegal prayer before the city council there, starting their meetings with Christian clergy coming in and praying to Jesus. And as a response to the letter of complaint that our staff attorney, Rebecca Kratz, wrote, there was kind of some mild hysteria. And they decided to adopt a policy that more or less, which is good, they didn't have a policy before, but it doesn't sound too promising. It does hint that perhaps the clergy who pray shouldn't be proselytizing during those prayers. But that's what clergy do. I don't think they're going to get the message. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, they're not going to like the government telling them not to proselytize when that's their whole mission. And something about Dallas this week.
We also have a complaint. We have about 20 complaints about illegal city council prayers around the country. And one of them happens to be in North Richland Hills, Texas. One of our members there contacted us to complain about the Jesus prayers going on at his city council.
That's a suburb of the Dallas area?
Yeah, Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so we have a news segment. It's news coverage about that complaint. And our member doesn't want to be identified, but he does a very good job. He isn't identified, but he's talking in the segment of explaining about why he's offended about government prayer.
New developments tonight in the effort to stop prayer at city council meetings in North Richland Hills. We first told you about this story last month when a national atheist organization sent a letter to the city demanding the council stop all religious invocations. Tonight, the man at the center of that controversy is speaking only to CBS 11's Melissa Newton.
of prayer?
In North Richland Hills, an opening prayer is a routine practice at city council meetings.
In your name we pray. Amen.
But from that prayer, a controversy has taken root.
Well, it started back in July when I won Yard of the Month.
The homeowner was invited to a council meeting to receive his award, but decided not to go when he found out it opened with an invocation.
They said I could remain seated during the invocation or go outside. It made me feel like a second-class citizen, ostracized, not part of the community, and I considered it more or less Christian bullying.
The man is an atheist. He has asked us not to identify him out of fear of retaliation against his family.
My family is religious, very religious. I'm the only non-believer in this household.
He contacted the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which asked the council to stop praying at meetings.
In response, the city attorney said they have no plans to change their invocation at this time. Now the Dallas-Fort Worth Coalition of Reason is stepping in, organizing a protest here before next week's meeting.
It's not a belief thing. It's more about the separation of governments and religion.
It's a cause this resident says extends far beyond just atheism.
Our free thinkers, humanists, there are other faiths, other beliefs, other non-beliefs. In the wide diversity we have now in our population, that it would be offensive to as well.
In North Richland Hills, Melissa Newton, CBS 11 News.
The protest will take place next Monday at 6 p.m. in front of City Hall.
That's CBS 11 News in Dallas, Texas, just a few nights ago. Our member, the member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, who was interviewed in that segment, is planning a pro-state church separation rally before the next meeting of the North Richland Hills City Council on next Monday. If you're in that area, you might want to show up between 6 p.m. to 7:05 p.m. at the City Hall there. And he wants some other local people to help speak out in his support.
This is a reminder that there is another public meeting and another pro-state church separation rally to counter a theocratic rally planned in Lodi, California. If you're in the Sacramento, Oakland area, there's a big public meeting that the city has called on the question of our complaint about illegal prayer. That takes place on Wednesday, September 30th. There will be a pro-secular government rally at 5:30, and the meeting itself begins at 7, and we need locals to show up and to speak because the religious right, as you may recall, has kind of adopted our Lodi complaint as one of their pet issues, and you can get more information at our website.
And we also want to remind you about our upcoming 32nd Annual National Convention. It's not a convention that lasts 30 seconds. It's the 32nd Annual Convention of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, meeting on the first weekend in November in Seattle, headlined by Ron Reagan, the Air America host, who calls himself an unabashed atheist. Also, Ursula K. Le Guin, the legendary science fiction writer.
And let me just butt in here to say that Ursula K. Le Guin has just agreed to appear on Free Thought Radio, upcoming show before the convention, so keep listening.
In the next few weeks, then, okay? She's a feminist, she's a non-believer, and also you'll meet many of the fascinating authors that you've heard interviewed on this show, Free Thought Radio, including the former L.A. Times reporter William Lobdell, who lost his religion covering the religion beat, and Barry Cosman, the principal researcher of the American Religious Identification Survey, which we have often cited on this show, showing that 15% of the adult population in this country is now non-religious, and he'll be talking about other secular statistics. Also, the sociologist Phil Zuckerman will talk about the goodness of godlessness. Jennifer Michael Hecht talking about Doubt. That's the title of her book, Doubt, and Why Doubt is a Good Thing. And then a sparkling speaker, Daniel Everett, the former missionary who lost his religion trying to missionize an Amazon tribe. He'll also be there. Plus, Annie, Laurie, and I, and over 500 members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation from all over the country.
And we want to warn you that the room cuts off at 560 people. We're at about 460. So if you haven't made your reservations, both with the Freedom From Religion Foundation or with the Red Lion Hotel in downtown Seattle, you better. So go to ffrf.org/events, and there's everything you possibly need to know at our website, but don't delay.
And it's a good deal. This is the best deal in the free thought world for conventions, only $50 per person, $55 for non-members who are accompanying a member. It's a lot of fun and a lot of free thought.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We'll be back after this short break to talk more about free thought, play a little music, and then talk with Lucy Discoverer, Donald C. Johansson, an atheist.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth, and I'm a free thinker from Chicago, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Speaking freely, thinking freely. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. Coming up later, Donald C. Johansson, the discoverer of Lucy.
And now, if you're listening to this show live or when it first plays Saturdays around the country, if today is September 26th, then today is the anniversary of the birth of George Gershwin. So he was born in 1898. So we thought it would be nice to celebrate his birthday by playing one of our very favorite songs. It was written by the Gershwin brothers, music by George, words by Ira. I bet you can guess what's coming up. It was for the musical Porgy and Bess.
And this is Sammy Davis Jr., his version of the song. And the song is It Ain't Necessarily So, and it's from his album, Man Meets Woman.
It ain't necessarily so.
It ain't necessarily so.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. Little David was small, but oh my.
Little David was small, but oh my.
He fought big Goliath, who laid down and died. Little David was small, but oh my. Wadoo! Simbabaloo! Scalabalida! Scalabalida! Jonah, he lived in the whale. Little Moses was found in a stream.
Little Moses was found in a stream.
He floated on water till old Pharaoh's daughter, she fished him, she says, from that stream. Seven, live clean, don't have no faults. Oh, I take that gospel whenever it's possible, but with a grain of salt. Methuselah lived 900 years.
Methuselah lived 900 years.
But who calls that living when no gal will give in to one man what's 900 years? I'm preaching this sermon to show it
Well, happy birthday, George Gershwin. Of course, you can't hear us, but we wish you happy birthday.
And speaking of September birthdays, I want to just quickly pay homage to the many famous freethinkers born in September. starting with reformers like Margaret Sanger, Frances Wright, Jane Addams, iconoclast H.L. Mencken, H.G. Wells, abolitionist Parker Pillsbury, and muckraker Upton Sinclair, the queen of the muckrakers, Jessica Mitford, the famous British atheist Charles Bradlaugh, Irish revolutionary Robert Emmet, scientists James Watson, Stephen Gould, astronomer Jean-Baptiste Bellambre. Besides George Gershwin, we have Shostakovich, born in September, Ani DiFranco, the actor Christopher Reeve, who was a non-believing person, didn't think that he had an afterlife. That's why he worked so hard for stem cell research. Authors such as F. Scott Fitzgerald, known as the beloved infidel, Prosper Mérimée. So we have a whole lot of really famous batch of freethinkers born in September.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Coming up in the second half of our show today, you don't want to miss our interview with Donald C. Johansson, the paleoanthropologist who discovered the famous skeleton, the famous fossil of Lucy. And he made some other discoveries as well. So you'll want to hear. And in fact, we're going to talk about this brand new exhibit that's in New York City. It's called Lucy's Legacy, which I got to visit. And Donald C. Johansson was instrumental in establishing that. So September is a good month of birthdays. It's a good month for Free Thought. So stay tuned for the second half of Free Thought Radio.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so.
And I'm Dan Barker here in the studio with Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Now, as we've been announcing, our scheduled guest, Donald C. Johansson, discoverer of Lucy, we've been promoting him for the last two segments. During the break, we learned that he's had to have an emergency medical procedure.
Last minute, his office just called us.
And he could not be with us today, but he plans to reschedule. So in the last break, we have scurried around and we found an excellent, timely interview. And who is that person?
Somebody that I've known my entire life.
And that would be?
That would be my brother. He's my little brother, but he's not little anymore. He's my brother, Daryl.
He's bigger than you.
Well, yeah, I know. So I don't pick fights with him anymore. And we're not just calling Daryl because he's my brother and because we need a fill-in guest. Actually, he was in the newspaper this week having to do with the controversy in Olympia, Washington. Are you there, Daryl?
I am here. You want to arm wrestle?
Yeah, I don't know who will win this time. you and Dad and Suzanne are living near Olympia, Washington, and you've been very, very good at helping us out with our complaint. Last year, you were the person who delivered and picked up our controversial winter solstice sign that caused all that ruckus
in the state capitol in Olympia.
Yeah, and then
we put up to protest a nativity scene that would have been placed in the capitol. And if people followed the news, we were really on Bill O'Reilly's hate list, and it stirred up a huge ruckus. And why don't you tell us what happened, Daryl?
Well, you guys did most of the work. I picked Dan up at the airport, and on our way in, we had a little delay in the actual sign arriving, so we went to Kinko's or something like that, and we picked up a temporary one, which really looked quite nice, green lettering on a white background, and so we presented that in lieu of the original sign that was at UPS and some kind of ground holding or something.
And there were three TV stations there when we got there.
Well, there were, and you did most of the presentation, and you got in front of the camera. I held back mostly because I've got a couple businesses here in town, and I felt, and I might be wrong, but I felt that perhaps being so publicly out front like that might hinder and damage my business, it hasn't, but always a possibility.
So a lot of our members,
most of the camera work, but what happened was when the sign got stolen and they found it, then I got to pick it up, and then that day that I went to put the original sign back, I come around the corner and here there's like three cameras with their bright lights shining right on me, and I couldn't back out at that
point. You thought you could sneak in and
so
just...
I went ahead and replaced the sign that was stolen and put up a little sign that says, thou shalt not steal, which was kind
yeah,
of
a little postscript this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that all happened last December, and then, Daryl, why don't you tell listeners what... Well, there was all this fuss about our sign that said there are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. Religion is but myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds. But it said at the season of the winter solstice may reason prevail, and reason did not prevail. But after we put our sign up to counter the nativity, then what were some of the other groups that put signs up?
Well, there were other religious groups that said that atheism hardens hearts and that type of contrary signs that went up.
And, oh, the atheist has said in his heart, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God, which is from Psalms.
But the thing got really emotional, Annie Laurie. They held a huge rally. In fact, I called you on my cell phone in the middle of it, and you overheard mm-hmm. all the hollering and the bullhorns and the preaching and the bedlam that took place after that under this rally. They filled the entire steps.
This is on a Sunday.
There were 600 Christians there, yeah, and maybe seven atheists.
This is the Sunday after the sign went up. The sign had gone up on, I think it was Monday, December 1st, and then that following Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It was like something out of the Scopes trial, wasn't it? There was a lot of sin and repent signs.
Oh, huge signs of thou shalt, honor the Lord thy God and all that type of religious.
And so then I think the tipping point was all these people were contacting the governor to complain and ask for their own permits. And I think it was when the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster asked to put up their own sign that the state decided to declare a moratorium.
Or maybe it was Fred Phelps's sign, the anti-gay
mm-hmm.
sign.
And they said, well, the signs that were up could stay, including ours and the nativity scene, but they weren't going to take any more. And so we were really happy this August when the state had come up with a policy that they were going to continue a moratorium on all displays, all private displays and signs in the Capitol. And they had a hearing last Tuesday. And so you went to it, Daryl, and you were in the paper...
I went to the hearing, but they had you sign in, so I signed my name, Daryl Barker, and then what organization, and I put down Free and From Religion Foundation, and they had you sign yes or no whether you approved of the proposal for the new rules that they were proposing. And so I wrote in there, rather than check yes or no, I wrote in uncertain, because I wasn't certain at that time. And so I chose not to speak, but we had two FFR members, a Mark and a Ray, that went before the hearing and spoke on behalf of their sentiments and the sentiments of Freedom From Religion Foundation. But what happened was apparently one of the reporters saw me sign and then read the Freedom From Religion Foundation and was taking my picture at least, three, four, five times. I'm hearing the shutter go click, 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 click. And in today's paper, they had my picture there reading the proposal.
We should say it was last Wednesday's paper, right? Because this show is...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, last Wednesday's paper. And so that's where I got my picture in, but I didn't speak before the council. No.
And what did your hat say that you were wearing?
Oh, my hat said, out of the closet atheist.
So,
that shows pretty predominantly.
So you can't hide anymore, can you?
And by the way, that hat is sold, that cap is sold by FFRF.org. It's very cute. And well, we are all for the moratorium, Daryl, because we think that's the only way that reason can prevail in the Capitol. That if they do a blanket moratorium, that's what we wanted when we asked to put up our winter solstice display. We did it
as
to
a
challenge.
Protest, yeah.
We did it as a protest because we don't think religion or irreligion belongs in a state capital. So how did the hearing go?
I wanted to tell you guys that at the meeting, which was what I found quite interesting, is that when you contrast what happened the Sunday after with the bullhorns and the Christians and all the bedlam that took place and the emotionalism, there was only one mention of the nativity scene in speaking before the hearing. There was nobody out front, nobody inside that championed the religion's cause.
Really?
I'm not sure what that says, but it
Maybe they got the message.
Perhaps so. They've given up the fight, but there was only one man, and it was the man who put up the nativity scene that spoke before the hearing.
So,
and he basically said, listen, I'd still like to have the nativity scene, but I'll sign a hold harmless form that I won't sue you or hold you reliable if anything should happen. And that was his proposal.
Well, that's kind of weird. You mean liable for harm on his nativity scene?
Well,
nobody.
Would not sue the state if there was any well,
nobody stole his sign. They stole our sign, and it was quite battered. It was an expensive gold gilt edge sign. And you saw it, Daryl. It was all bent out of shape.
It was. And, in fact, I'm sitting here in my workshop, and I'm looking at the sign. It's got a distinctive bend, you know, right across the middle of it.
Wow. So do you have any feelings about what the state might do? They might continue the moratorium? Or you said there was some talk about maybe allowing everybody to move outside on the sidewalk or do it that
right.
way.
Right. They're proposing that...
Who's they?
The state?
The GA, which is the General Administration of this Washington state, have decided that there would be no displays other than the exception of the holiday tree, they're calling it, that there would be no displays inside the Capitol or on the steps, but that they will be permitted on the ground if they have a permit.
Oh, no. Now,
but they would only be temporary.
But that was not in the written proposal that we saw in August and September. When did they come up with this idea?
Well, they haven't, of course, it's a proposal, so they haven't made their final decision.
Well,
that
I
will
don't
be made
like,
on October the 22nd.
I don't like that proposal because...
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Because we don't, I mean, this is the whole complaint. We had a member complain that a nativity scene does not belong at the state capitol. I don't think it belongs on the state capitol grounds.
But were they talking about the grounds or just like the park area?
On the grounds where there has been in the past public forums. And
yeah, like they've had rallies and meetings.
Right,
yeah,
but
and
that's,
rallies and
that's different than planting something for a month. That's totally different. So I'm sorry to hear that development. I thought they might have got the message after all of that fuss last year, and we might just have to come back and stick something on the grounds.
Well, okay, you can still do your comments up till October the 1st,
okay.
So I could give you that website.
All right,
if you need that during this recording.
Yeah, why don't you give that website now, and then we're going to take a break.
Okay, it's in order to make a comment, it's http://. www.ga.wa.gov/rules/rules_proposed.htm.
Proposed.htm, okay.
Wow, so we'll have that up in an action alert by early next week, and people can go and get that because it's www.ga.wa.gov/rules/rules_proposed.html. My gosh, it's like a joke. Okay, I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker. We're talking with Daryl Barker about activism at the Olympia Washington Capitol and how to keep it free from religion. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name's Fred from Springfield, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio. I think that's great.
Necessarily so.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker.
And we're talking with my not-so-little brother, Daryl Barker. He lives near Olympia, Washington, and he's on the phone with us today. We're talking about the controversy over the religious symbols and our anti-religious or protesting sign in the Capitol building in Olympia, Washington. And, Daryl, you explained to us that this week, after all your attempts to try to keep your head low, your head was photographed in the paper identified with the out-of-the-closet atheist hat you were wearing. So how do you feel now about your notoriety?
Well, Dan, I tell you, I'm becoming more comfortable with it because I've realized that people have very, very short memories. And so the odds of anybody or one of my customers that would remember in a week from now that I was in the paper is in my favor. So I felt that it's, to me, I have a passion for keeping church and state separate, and that that really, truly is becoming more and more important to me than losing one or two customers. So now, I feel pretty comfortable with
it. Daryl, we failed to introduce you as the main administrator of the Freedom from Religion Foundation's new membership forum, which is online. It's available to any actually enrolled member of the Freedom from Religion Foundation. And we do that because we want a safe place for freethinkers to meet. And so we do make sure someone is a member of the foundation and they can feel free to talk about themselves and the issues that matter to them.
So say hi to some of the forum members, Daryl.
Oh, hey, hi, forum members. I was going to tell you our current stats that we have a total of 402 members.
This is a very new forum.
It is brand new. And we have a total of 2,805 posts so far and a total of 386 topics. And the topics are varying. They're interesting. They're wide and very open and candid with each other. So we're having a really good time.
You just posted on that forum the letter that you wrote to the state of Washington.
And I did.
Members can read that if they want to then.
Yes.
And also you have a history of working. We've reported your activism in the past. When you were in the San Bernardino area, you got caught up in a cross case, didn't you?
I did, two
in the crossfire?
Two. One was asking that the San Bernardino County cease from funding financially a Desert Christ Park. We were successful with that. The ACLU and the Freedom from Religion Foundation were very, very supportive and involved in that case. And we got all the way up to the appellate court, and we won. And then we went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court did not take the case, in effect, saying that the lower court was correct and that we won our case. So the county of San Bernardino no longer is supporting a religious theme park. The other case was the city of Redlands in California. They had a cross on their city seal, a Christian cross.
That's right.
And I got involved in that, and we have been successful. It's a long story, but the cross has been removed successfully through a referendum, by a citywide referendum and election.
Now, I happen
to... And that's an amazing thing that you got the city referendum in your favor.
Yes, it was. But that was like 12, 15 years later. We started it that long ago.
I happen to know, Daryl, it changes up real fast here, that you used to be a street preacher yourself, like me.
You would know that, wouldn't you?
You used to work with CIA, Christians in Action. And you...
Yeah, that's correct. Well, you do recall. You're going back there a ways.
Well, you and I used to do some ministry together, too, music and that.
We did, Frank Gonzalez. We used to go down to Mexico and win the lost at any cost. Catholics into Protestants.
Well, whatever it was, but, and our family was very religious, and, of course, Mom and Dad later became atheists. What was your story? I mean, how would a street preacher like you suddenly become this activist for state church separation?
Oh, we got 2 minutes.
2 minutes? Tell your life story in 2 minutes.
I'll tell you briefly. As you wrote in your book, I had the motto, how much sin could I get away with and still get to heaven? So I wasn't as strong Christian as you were, though I still believed. And I must attribute the beginning of my change of heart and mind and thinking was due to your research and our long talks we used to have in your library there in Ontario, California.
And you said you were really attracted to humanism first, and then
yes, it was
atheism.
Actually the Humanist Manifesto number 2 that was the straw that broke this religious camel's back. So.
So we'll keep watching this development in Olympia, Washington, and see what comes up. But they haven't. Can you repeat for us the website where people can make their comments? We have about 1 minute left. Okay. What's the website?
Let's see here. The website is, I got my computer in front of me. The website is www.gawa.gov/rules_proposed.htm.
I don't think that the state is really that interested in public comments if it comes up with a website like that. But actually, if anybody wants to make that public comment, and this is not just people in Washington State, but people around the nation, we would really appreciate you're telling the state of Washington that you don't think there should be religion or irreligion inside or outside on the grounds. Forget about it. Let's just keep government and religion entirely separate. And you can chime in there and go to our action alert at ffrf.org. Look under outreach and you'll find the action alert and you'll get that long, long email there.
Thank you, Daryl, for being on the show. You're not my other brother, Daryl. You're my only brother, Daryl.
So, my pleasure, Dan. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
You bet, Annie, Laurie. Bye.
And we also want to thank, as usual, our engineer, Dan Ginsberg. And our announcer is Buzz Kemper. And you can hear the show again. It sounds just as good on a podcast. Go to our website, ffrf.org/radio.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org. Phone 1-800-335-4021. The October issue is out. Ask for a copy, and we'll be back next week with more rational radio
and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.